We're doing a quick class on Rosh Hashanah, on the davening for Rosh Hashanah. And we have to remember, coming into the davening, that our purpose here is not to cry on Rosh Hashanah. Our purpose here is not to make requests. Our purpose here is to recognize that God is King of the world. This is the anniversary of God's judgment of the world. That when God sat to judge Adam Rishon, Adam, on Rosh Hashanah. So ever since then, it was instituted in heaven that on this day that Adam was created, on Rosh Hashanah, every year God would again judge the world. Now this year is special in that Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So we will not be blowing shofar. We are in the year 5769 on the Gregorian calendar 2009, and the year that's coming in is 5770. Oh. 5770, I didn't notice that. Okay. So the eve of Rosh Hashanah, we light candles in honor of Rosh Hashanah, and this year it'll be in honor of Yom Tov and Shabbos, and the bracha will reflect that. Most people only wear a kittel, the white robe, in honor of Yom Kippur, but you'll see here in Machon Meir there are those who have the custom to wear it in honor of Rosh Hashanah as well. Only married people wear a kittel in the Chazanim. I don't know if Sephardim have kittels. I don't know. I hear, okay. I got to brush up on my Sephardi. Because Shabbos is coming in, so we begin early with Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, the one psalm in honor of Shabbos. We don't say the whole Kabbalah Shabbos. We say one psalm, the last psalm that ushers in Shabbos. And then we wait till the beginning of Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv will have a very special tune. These are the tunes for us Ashkenazim that get etched in our children's memories. In our own memories, the Ashkenazi davening on Rosh Hashanah has fantastic tunes. Sephardi is very different. The Ashkenazi is fantastic, the tunes. The Sephardi is a standard Sephardi tune. It's not. It doesn't have all the, the Kaddish has. So you have a few places where you have special tunes, but the Ashkenazi, the whole thing, each tefillah has its own special tune. As far as I know, most places do not have the custom of saying the Chadudim. We just say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. Maybe Sephardim do, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it has it here.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that means they do it or not.
No. Only Mizmor Shir and Hashem Malach.
Right. Yeah. Maybe Sephardim do say the Chadudim. Ma'ariv is generally the same. The ancient custom was that they'd add piyutim in the Ma'ariv. Here in Israel, they've done away with that. We don't say all the additions in the blessings of Shema. The additions were composed by early Rishonim, and they were said for centuries throughout Europe. Our generation doesn't do it anymore. So we just say a regular blessing like on Shabbos and Shema. Maybe Sephardim do say additions. I don't know. I don't think so, because the Shulchan Aruch was against it, technically. The Ashkenazim had the custom, so he said, don't abolish your custom. But technically, he wasn't for it. And that brings us through the blessings of Shema, Emet ve'Emunah, Hashkiveinu. And then we conclude the Hashkiveinu the way we would on Shabbos. Ufros aleinu sukat shalomecha. Haporei sukat shalom. We don't say Shomer Amo Yisrael Ad, but rather Haporei sukat shalom. And then this year we'll say Vishamru, because it's Friday night. And we add the verse Tiku v'chodesh shofar. That's the verse about Rosh Hashanah. Blow the shofar on the beginning of the month. V'keseh yom chageinu, on our holiday where the keseh, where the moon is covered. And this pasuk is the pasuk that speaks about Rosh Hashanah. Ki chok li'Yisrael hu mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. That is a statute for the Jewish people. That is when the God of Jacob takes us to judgment. That is on Rosh Hashanah. And that is also the verse that we recite in the Yom Tov morning. That's our Kiddush. Yom Tov morning, we say this verse, and then a blessing, Borei Pri HaGafen. Very short Kiddush, Yom Tov morning. Oh, so the Sephardim had that too, right.
It's not the same one.
It's not the same one. Okay.
But we dive in here. Nusach Sfard.
Nusach Sfard, but that's
how different is that from Nusach Ashkenaz?
Slight.
Very similar.
Almost identical. Right.
Nusach Ashkenaz.
On Rosh Hashanah, not on Yom Kippur, in the Seder Avodah of Yom Kippur, you should at least photocopy the Sfardi, Chazar Sashat, Seder Avodah.
Sfard,
right. Okay, so we begin Shmoneh Esrei. We have to remember the additions in Shmoneh Esrei. Zochreinu L'chaim, right? Look at the end of the first blessing, we had that. If you forgot it, you don't go back for that one. The only one you go back for is Amelech HaKadosh, as Ashkenazim. We add Michamocha Avarachamim before the second blessing. Again, if you forgot it, you don't have to go back. And then we begin. Now we're going to add the special additions for Rosh Hashanah. We begin standard, Atah Kadosh, you are holy. Bishimcha Kadosh, your name is holy, your representation, the way you reveal yourself in this world, the way you're known in this world is holy. Ukdoshim b'chol yom yaluch hasela, and holy beings praise you daily. Forever. And now we begin the additions. Notice we did not conclude that blessing. The additions now are going to be within the blessing of Atah Kadosh, the introductory blessing. Uvechein. Vechein Gematria 72. 72 is Chesed. Uvechein, like Esther said, Uvechein Avol Amelech. And so I come before the king. And so we begin our ascent before our Creator. Uvechein. And we begin by saying, Tein Pachtecha. Hashem, we await the time that your fear will be given over all the things that you do. Ve'imatcha, and your awe, al kol ma shebarata, and everything you created, even the human being that is called a Briah, as opposed to the other things which are Ma'aseh. Meaning most of creation is called Ma'aseh Hashem, the actions of Hashem. There are certain things that are referred to as the creation of Hashem. That is the human being, that is celestial beings, that is the taninim. There are certain things that says briyah, the things that people ended up serving as idols, things that are awesome.
Like or?
What?
Or did they create?
So we ask Hashem that v'yira'ucha kol ha'maasim v'yishtachavu lefanecha kol ha'biruim. May all things fear you. May all things that you created, the human beings are biruim, the things you created bow before you. V'yasu chulam aguda achad, let them all unite la'asot ritzoncha b'levav shalem, to do your will with a complete heart. As we know, Shashotan lefanecha, Shotan over here means the control. You have dominion, you have control. Ozbiyadcha, the might is in your hand, Ugvura b'minecha, and power is in your right hand, Veshimcha no'al kol ma shebarata, and your name is awesome, is revered over all that you've created. That is the first of Uvechein, and the reason I'm taking time for this is because this repeats itself in every Shmoneh Esrei. Every Shmoneh Esrei, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, will begin with the three Uvecheins, which really are the additions of Atah Kadosh. So what have we requested here? That the world recognize that God is running the world. Everyone have awe of God. Uvechein, again, I'm approaching the king, I'm taking another step. Imagine Esther standing before the king, she doesn't know how he'll accept her. Uvechein avol amelech, she says, and so I'm coming before the king. And so Chazal, taking that word uvechein, that is representative of a person in fear approaching his master, his king, instituted that in our introductory, in our beginning of Atah Kadosh, as we ascend, each one is another step. When I say Mashmoneh Esrei, I've marked every Uvechein. So then I stop. I tell myself, okay, another step. Notice we take three steps back, three steps forwards. We take three steps forwards into the Shmoneh Esrei. We say three times, Uvechein, another step, another step. How do you have four? You fired them at four. You're right. Sorry. I see how out of touch I am with Friday. Okay. But you should know, in my house I have a Yemenite Seder and a Sephardi Seder, and I took the time to study each of them. I just don't remember. I value each of them, but you know, each year what I say is this.
So. That's good, bro. I mean, sorry to point that.
No, Kokomo? Good point.
Well, you're at Ten Kavod?
Yeah. So we came Ten Kavod, and now we speak about the Jewish people. We have Malchuyot, Zichronot, Shofarot. And so Hashem, give honor, grant honor to your people, Tehillah l'Reyecha, glory to those who fear, who have awe of you, V'tikva tova l'dorshecha, and hope for those who seek you, U'fitchon pela miachlim lach, and the capacity to speak freely. Fitchon pe literally means free speech, but really it means to have an answer. When they tell you, where's your God? The nations always mocked us. Israel. Where's your God? Give us the capacity to answer. Here, you see? You see? Pitron Pe isn't just free speech. It's the capacity, let me open my mouth, let me answer. To those who hope for you. You will notice that on Rosh Hashanah, we balance a few themes. We speak about God's kingship over the world, and that's where we begin. The world should recognize you are king. We speak about the Jewish people who are God's representatives on earth, and when we are downtrodden, it's a representation of God that's being bashed. We're His people. And so we say, Hashem, give honor to your nation, not to us. Our focus isn't us. Your nation, your people, those who fear you. The Jewish people say, we've been killed over you, God. Right? And when Moshe wants to go fight the Midianites, God tells him, go take your revenge from the Midianites. Take the revenge of the Jewish people. Moshe responds to God and says, I will go and take your revenge, God. If we would be apostates, if we'd leave the Torah, they wouldn't hate us. It's your revenge. They only hate us because we're attached to you. That's what the Midrash says over there on the spot. Moshe says, it's not our revenge. It's your revenge. They only hate us and try to bring us down. That's why it's called Sinai. Misham Yaldat Sin'ah La'olam. Sinai is the root of enmity. They hate us because we've attached to God. And so part of our prayer on Rosh Hashanah focuses not on us, but on God's honor. Hashem, give honor to your nation. Yeah.
Wait, what is it? Did it describe it like a jealousy or something? Or what is it? Why would Hashem set it up? We would be hated because He chose us. The only thing I can think of is it's like a jealousy.
That's a good point. There was a wise man called Moses, the son of Maimonides. He wrote a fantastic letter called the Yemenite Epistle. And there's a class here down below where they learned it all year, last year. And they recorded it. And there's this website called TorahForMe.org where you could hear the whole thing. And over there, Maimonides goes into the concept much the way you described, but it's always worth hearing the expert, right? So it's a good point. The Rambam extends, why is it that the nations maintain this enmity towards us? And he breaks it down. Different nations, different forms. It's a little bit too simplistic. Sorry. So we ask Hashem, grant simcha le'artzecha, happiness to your land, the sason and rejoicing le'irecha to your city. And you'll notice throughout the Tanakh and throughout our davening, throughout our prayers, Jerusalem and Israel are personified. The whole Megillah of Eicha Lamentations is a eulogy. Who's weeping? Who's sitting alone? The city. We're talking about the city. Look at Isaiah. Half the prophecy is about the city. Zioni, Doresh en la, poor Zion. No one's looking out for her. Who's supposed to be looking out for her? Us. Zion b'mishpat tipadeh. Zion will be redeemed. Uvale Zion goel. The Redeemer's coming to Zion. She's personified. Zion. Oh, yeah. So we ask Hashem, grant happiness to your land, rejoicing to your city, utzmichat keren, and the smichat keren.
Oh, the outing of the horse.
Le David avdecha, to David your servant. So tzmicha is a description of a plant that grows. Es tzemach David avdecha. The plant of David, your servant, you should quickly sprout. Go look at a plant. Watch it for an hour or two. And tell me, what have you seen? You'll come back, you say nothing. We ask Hashem, we recognize that the growth of David, the redemption, will not come in a flash. Some people expect the temple is going to come down from heaven, bam! You're right, Rashi says that's a possibility. That can happen. But we also recognize that there's another possibility, and that is a growth. A growth like a plant. When you look at it, you don't see it hour by hour as it grows. But you come back after a period, you say, look at how it's grown. 50 years ago, look at where we were. Look at where we are today. Look at where we've grown. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not one to interpret the words of the prophets. But if we want an example of growth that you don't see on the moment, but you see over time, well, we can certainly think that maybe, and hopefully, we are fulfilling that prophecy. Hopefully. I'm saying, you are in Mahon Meir. So, Tzmichat Keren, we speak about the growth of the horn. That's the horn represents it represents strength, it can represent kingship. What was the horn? David was anointed with the horn. The horn represents continuum. The horn is not a flask. A flask has one opening. A horn has two openings. David was anointed, the kingdom of David is anointed with a horn, Chazal say. Says the Gemara, because there's a continuum, it's like a stream. A horn is always flowing. It's got two openings because it just keeps flowing. So tzmichat keren, you want to see the horn raised, growing, sprouting. Le David avdecha, to David your servant. Va'arichat ner leben yishai meshichecha. How do they translate arichat ner? Aricha. La'aroch is to prepare. Prepare the lamb for the son of Yishai, the son of Jesse, who is your anointed one. B'mera b'yameinu, swiftly in our days. So we speak about the hope of the Jewish people. Malchuyot, God's kingship. That's what we discussed in Uvechein Tein Tachtecha. Zichonot, the memory of the Jewish people should go up before God. That's what we just discussed now. Shofarot, that's what we're about to discuss. That's the great horn that will be blown on that great day when Mashiach comes. And that's Uvechein Tzadikim. Now, you have to know that technically, Malchuyot, Zichonot, and Shofarot, we have on tradition, that's the breakdown of the Musaf prayer. As I said, within the Musaf prayer, you have to have Malchuyot, Zichonot, Shofarot. The Avudraham, he was a late Rishon, he put together the different commentaries on the Siddur, and much of the Tur and Shulchan Aruch and the laws of Tefillah is taken verbatim from the Avudraham. He doesn't quote it in his name, but if you learn the Avudraham and open up the Tur, you'll see it's verbatim, word for word, much of the Tur and the laws of Tefillah. So the Avudraham points this out. That even though technically Malchuyot Zichonot Shofarot was instituted in the Musaf prayer tomorrow morning, nonetheless, Chazal had its representation in the beginning of each prayer of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as we are illustrating now. The explanation I'm giving now is the Avudram, the Vechein being 72, Vechein Avo Lamelech, that's the Avudram.
So what's this one then, some Kabbalistic Vechein?
I don't know. I have to look into it. I'm sorry, I don't remember. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I mean, I think it's quoted in Rishonim, this the Sfarid, what the Sfaridim say, V'chein Yitkadash, etc. If I remember correctly, that's not a later introduction, but rather it's quoted already in Rishonim. But I don't remember what's said about it. I'm sorry. What I've said year after year, I remember a little bit. Don't forget, you guys didn't prepare me. You told me 5 minutes ago we're doing this class. I didn't bring my matzah. I didn't prepare.
He says here, this one's for Abraham, this one's for Yitzhak, this one's for Yaakov, and this one's for David.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Quickly read it.
Uvechein. So now we're up to the third Uvechein, and that's a representation of Shofarot, which is we're blowing the shofar with the request of the future, the future shofar that's going to come. And what's going to be then? Sadikim yiru v'ismachu. The righteous will see and rejoice. The Sharim, And those that are honest, straight, shinos, we discussed it yesterday, what's yeshar? What does it mean to be straight, upright? Remember why the Avos, the forefathers, were called yesharim? So the yesharim ya'alozu, they will exalt. V'chasidim merina yagilu, and the chasidim, the extra pious guys, when we say chasidim and tzaddikim in Tanakh and in davening and prayer, doesn't mean what people today use these terms to mean. Oh, tzaddik, tzaddik. When Chazal used the word tzaddik, it had exact definition. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses what is a tzaddik exactly. When Chazal used the word chassid, it had exact definition. The Gemara in Brachos and in other places describes what is a chassid. Then the Chazal used the word tzanua. When the Chazal said yirei shamayim, each of these terms had exact definitions. Today, it's used freely. People think they know what it means. Yeah, almost interchangeably, but they're not at all. So, chassidim, those that are extra pious, berina yagilu, they will rejoice with delight. The olata tikpotzpia. Olata is like avlata. Olata is like avla. Avel. Those that are sinners. Iniquity. Tikpotzpia will shut its mouth. Look at the contradistinction. Those that are God-fearing people will have pitzponpe, the capacity to open their mouths. And here we come to a theme that I feel is one of the underlying themes of Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say it anywhere exactly, but when you put the pieces of the puzzle together, my feeling is that's one of the underlying themes of Rosh Hashanah. When we say God is king, so what we're saying is God is judging the world on this day. Now, all year long, we study Eel, study the book of Job, right? Every night we learn together Eel here. And every night we hear Eov's questions. Where is God? I don't understand. How come I see this guy succeeding and that guy suffering? And how could there be Hashgachat Matid? And you know what? There are many answers. Chazal have different answers to the questions, different opinions in Chazal as to what is the correct answer. You have to remember the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Ein lanu, the Mishnah says, lo mishalvat. We do not have an answer that ultimately at the end of the day allays all our questions. We answer on a certain level, we answer to the extent that we can placate our nerves, but deep down we do not have an answer that completely satisfies us. According to one opinion in Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have an answer that was completely satisfactory. Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, I want to see you face to face, God. What's he telling God? I want to understand the world. I have a hard time. I know you're God. I know you run the world. But I also know that I see things in this world that trouble me. Well, that's the challenge of being a believer. The challenge of being a Yehudi Ma'amin is deep down inside, there's something that knows it's right. Deep down inside, there's also a question that I don't have an answer. And which one's going to win? Am I going to strengthen the question, strengthen the connection? Which part of me is going to guide my decisions? And sometimes we say, well, I don't have all the answers, so heck with it all. We know that's wrong. And even as we're doing it, we know that's wrong. Rosh Hashanah is a day in the year where what we're saying when we're accepting Hashem as king is, we're saying, you're king. What about all my questions? Every other day of the year, not today. Today, I stop all the questions. And that's why today, I connect with God in the present and my hope for God in the future. And I speak to God and I say, I'm waiting for the day when you will bring justice to the world. And on that day, what will happen? Then the believers will be able to open their mouths. Why can't we open the mouths right now? Because a lot of people like Job, like Eov, can say, well, what do you mean? Look around. Like Eov tells his friend, don't sell me a load of goods. I see what's going on in the world. There are plenty of people who are sinners and they seem to have it plenty good. Don't tell me God's interfering down below. That can't be the reason I should be a believer. So, they give answers, he gives questions, they give answers, he gives questions. At the end of the day, he seems to have the upper hand.
Well, the last friend that comes through gives him.
He gives a totally different answer.
Right.
He doesn't tell him, you look around, it makes sense. He gives him a totally different answer.
Right.
God gives him a totally different answer.
Right.
God basically says, what do you know? God's whole speech is, what do you know, Eeyore? Tell me, do you know this? Do you know that? Do you know the other thing? It's a whole long slew of things. So what do you know, Eeyore? Why do you think you understand anything? So what's the answer in that? I don't understand. We're going to discuss that. It's not Shem. We're not yet there. We still have another 20, 30 weeks till we get there. But on Rosh Hashanah, we put all the questions aside. On Rosh Hashanah, we sit down and we focus on our connection, on our recognition, on our hope. And that's our tefillah. The olata and iniquity, tikpot tefillah, will seal its mouth. Because as the world is now, they keep saying, Ayei Elokecha Israel, where's your God, Israel?
Tikpot is the jump.
Tikpot is the clench. You're right that likpot is also the jump.
Maybe you have to clench your muscles in order to jump.
Maybe, right. I'm trying to think of an example in Tanakh where likpot is the clench.
But for here, it's close or clench.
Yeah, will clench, close their mouth. V'chol harish'ah, and all evil. We're not speaking about the doers, we're talking about the evil itself.
So here, lelik. Parenthesis.
What can I do? Kula ka'ashan tichle. It will all pass like smoke.
Can I ask you, I know what lelit is, what's samar?
Every angel, his name represents what he does. So Samo means to erase. He's the head of the demons. He's trying to erase. That's why people don't even like saying his name. They call him Samach Men. Why? Because the actual name means the erasure. It's like blaspheming. The erasure towards, that's what it says. Samo, and then it says El. So he tries to erase it, so to speak. His job is to keep doing evil as though to erase. He's like the Sitra Achra, the other side. We try to keep bringing God into the world, and he keeps trying to show the other way. It's interesting if you think of the metaphor. We say all wickedness should dissipate like smoke. Sometimes you see a lot of smoke. It seems like there's something to it. There's a pillar of smoke. Is there a pillar there? It's all smoke. When God will reveal how he's running the world, it'll all dissipate. All wickedness will dissipate like smoke. Ki ta'avil memshelet zadon min ha'aretz, for you will abolish the rule of tyranny on earth. What is zadon? Zadon is code for Esav. Zadon is code for the rulership of Edom. Throughout davening and in Chazal,
to dissipate,
yeah, to vanish. And when all this occurs, v'timloch ata Hashem nevadecha, and you alone Hashem will reign. We're coming back to our theme, Hashem is king. And even though right now we don't see it, so we will describe the time when we will see it. Our point is, Hashem, you are king. And we await the time when everyone will recognize, v'timloch ata Hashem nevadecha. And with that thought in mind, let's turn back. What did we say? How did we begin? We're asking Hashem, please, let everyone recognize that you're really king even now. That's the beginning of Malchuyot. Hashem, give your kingship on all actions, all things you made, all creatures. Let them all fear you. Let them all unite to do your will. Right now the world does not recognize your king. Let the world recognize. You see the build-up? From the fact that they recognize your king, then honor will return to your people. From that we evolve to everyone who has been righteous will rejoice. Those who have been chassidim will be able to sing. And the evildoers' iniquity will seal their mouth, clench their mouth, and all wickedness will dissipate like smoke. Kitavim Memshel Zadon, you will remove the rulership of tyranny from earth. Etimnoch ata Hashem levadecha, and you, Hashem alone, will rule over all your actions, all the things you've made. Al kol maasecha. Maasecha is not your actions; it's the things you have made. Behal Tzion Mishkan Kavodecha, on Mount Zion, where you rest your honor. Uvirushalayim Mirkochecha, and in Jerusalem, your holy city. Kakatu v'divrei kochecha, as it says in your holy works. In your holy words, Yimloch Hashem Leolam, God will be king for eternity. God is Elokayich Tzion. He is your God, O Zion, the Dor Vador, for all generations. Hallelujah. And then we conclude this blessing, Kadosh Ata Hashem, you are holy. V'nora Shemecha, your name is awesome, is awe-inspiring. V'en Eloa Mibaladecha. And there is no potent being other than you. Bottom line. Kakatuv, as the verse says, and again we will conclude with a point of God's kingship. Vayikba Hashem Tzvakot Bamishpat. Hashem, who is over all the armies, he was exalted through justice, through his sitting in justice. Vakel HaKadosh, and the holy God, Mikdash B'Tzedakah, was sanctified through his righteousness. Baruch Ata Hashem, Amelech HaKadosh.
Well, that's pretty simple. Not too far off. A couple of little...
What?
We say, Artsach instead of Artsecha. Like, similar little things, but nothing
missing. All right. Pretty much the same. Okay, so that brings us to the conclusion of the introduction. And this is going to be identical in all prayers of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What I did was I wrote notes on the Ma'ariv prayer on this. And then I put a bookmark here. And this way, every prayer I reached, I'd flip back, and the first three blessings I'd say here, till Baruch Hashem, Amelech HaKadosh, and then I'd flip back to the prayer I was up to. So this way, I didn't have to rewrite these notes on this. You guys wrote it on the first prayer of Rosh Hashanah. So throughout your master, you're going to recopy it. So I put in a clip, and it's identical. You just have to remember to flip back, right? When you hit Amelech HaKadosh, pause. Now, flip back. Okay, now this, Natan v'chaltanu, so...
This is similar to all the Shlishi Mitzvot.
Correct. This is, if you flip forward, look at the morning blessings, the morning, the Shacharit, morning Shmona Esrei. Our silent Shmona Esrei is going to be...
That's where the difference is. The repetition is where...
Right, and the repetition is where the difference comes in. But the morning Shmona Esrei... Now the only difference is on Matzei Shabbos we're going to have that Vatodienu. That's a special blessing over Matzei Shabbos. That's on Yamim Tovim. Vatodienu on the Ma'ariv of Matzei Shabbos. But other than that, compare and you'll see the prayer of Arvit, Shacharit, and Mincha. Our silent prayer is identical on Rosh Hashanah. Arvit, Shacharit, Mincha. So you could write notes on one of them, and you've got all three covered. Musaf is different, and the Chazrat Hashatz, the repetition is different. And the one other difference is Vatodienu, that we will add on Matzei Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah, on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, we have to add the Vatodienu, that special blessing, over the fact that it's Matzei Shabbos. But the additions per Shabbos and everything else are identical. Okay, so we begin. Ata v'chaltanu mikol ha'amim. You guys want to continue or pause here? You have koach? Yeah? Ata v'chaltanu mikol ha'amim. Hashem says... Give me one second. Ata v'chaltanu mikol ha'amim. We begin with the fact that Hashem chose us from all the peoples. Now here, if we were learning more in depth, we could spend 2 or 3 days just discussing this sentence. What does it mean God chose us? And what merit? We're in the middle of a long series on Fridays trying to understand why exactly did God choose us. What does it mean, Mikol Ha'amim? From amongst all the nations? Or maybe it has much deeper meaning. Ahavta otanu, you loved us. Ve'ratzita vanu, and you favored us. Ve'romamtanu mikol ha'leshonot, and you uplifted us from all the different tongues, the different languages. Ve'kidashtanu b'mitzvotecha, and you gave us holiness through your mitzvot. Notice what we're saying here? Kidashtanu b'mitzvotecha is like when we make a blessing. Asher kidashtanu b'mitzvotav. So point number one, the simple understanding is, God gives us holiness through the mitzvot. We think, oh, I'm doing God a favor, right? He told me to buy a loaf and esrog. I'm taking out $50. I'm buying a loaf and esrog. God, look, you owe me one, right? No. Through the mitzvot, I become holy. It's a gift. God gave it to us. God gave us a gift. Alter your understanding. Asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav. What does a person do when he's under the chuppah with his tala? Hareyat mekudeshetli. You are hereby sanctified to me. There is a holy union between us now. At mekudeshet, you are sanctified li. Set aside in holiness for me. Us together in holiness. Asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav. God betrothed us in holiness through the mitzvot. The mitzvot are the kiddushin. You want to know what ring did God give us in kiddushin? God gave us 613. That these are the representation of our connection to Hashem. And the Hasidim like to say, the word mitzvah could be understood as tzivui, commandment. It could also be understood as tzavta, union. Tzavta, companionship. The mitzvah is what connects us, what bonds us to Hashem. V'kidashtanu b'mitzvotecha. Either you gave us holiness through your mitzvos, or you did kiddushin, you had a holy connection with us through the mitzvos. V'keravtanu malkeinu la'avodatecha. And our king, you brought us close to your service. V'shimcha ha'gadol v'akadosh aleinu karata. And God placed his great and holy name upon us. When we do something, the world talks. Bin Laden has nothing better to tell the President of the United States than that little country that's smaller than the state of New Jersey. You can't have a peace treaty with him. Why? Why does anyone care? What are we? We're God's people. And that's what Moshe says to God. You can't just wipe us out. Because it's your name. We're your people. We're connected. We're not just our own people anymore. Moshe, when he sees all else fails, he says, but it's your name, God. God says, what do you mean? Moshe says, you destroy them. People will say, God's people have been destroyed. It's your name that's destroyed. We say often in our tefillot, Leman Shemo Ba'ava, we say every day in Shemona Esrei. For his name, he does us kindness. Even though he saves us for his name, he does it with love. It's a gift. Really, if he does it for his name, he could do it begrudgingly. No, we say he does it, be'ava, even though it's leman shmo, he does it with love. We say it in benching, leman shimcha, hagadol, hagibor, v'anora. We say it often. So here we're mentioning, you chose us, you loved us, you exalted us, you sanctified us, you brought us close to your service, and you placed your great and holy name upon us. That's responsibility, but it's also trust. God has faith in us. You'll live up to it. He placed his name on us. Once he placed his name on us, God said, I can't do anything now. Now I can't destroy you. You better behave. Amen. That's what the Medrash says. Now, I think maybe this time we'll skip the Todienu so that we get a picture of the whole Tfilah. And then maybe on a separate occasion, if you guys will choose to, tomorrow night we'll come back. We'll fill in. There's a lot to do. You guys will vote on it for tomorrow night. Vatiten lanu Hashem Elokeinu be'ahava. So we skipped the Vatodienu, but bear in mind, you will have to stick it in on Matzei Shabbos. Vatiten lanu Hashem Elokeinu, and you gave us Hashem our God be'ahava, with love. Et Yom, which day are we referring to? Hashabbat hazeh, v'et Yom hazikaron hazeh. The day of Shabbos and this day of remembrance. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Truah. It's also called Zichron Truah. What is the blowing of the shofar? So Rav Sadia Gaon gave many understandings, many possibilities. What's the idea behind blowing shofar? One understanding we discussed is like a king. We're blowing the trumpet. Hear ye, the new king. We're blowing the trumpet. One understanding, the Torah describes that when there'll be a time of danger, and you'll need to be remembered for good before God, you will blow the trumpets, you will blow the shofarot. So we know, the Torah tells us this code. You blow shofar, it brings your memory in before me. According to Rav Soloveitchik, when we say on Rosh Chodesh, Yale v'yavo v'yagia, what are we saying? Our memory should come before you. Why do we say that? Why do we mention our memory? Why is that so important? Because on Rosh Chodesh, we should have had the blowing of the shofros, the trumpets, in the Beis HaMikdash. And then Hashem says, your memory will come before me. You no longer have that. So Hashem says, so our sages instituted, we say a prayer in place of that. Yale v'yavo is really, we're saying, what should go up before you? Our memory. You would have remembered us for good on this day had we had a shofar. We no longer have a shofar. So we ask Hashem, Yale v'yavo.
Why we just blow shofar?
Well, for a few centuries now, we haven't had a temple, we haven't had a place.
It only works in the temple.
Right? So, I didn't mean to be sarcastic. Technically it says you blow the shofar over there. I said it that way because the chief rabbi Rav Shapiro held that you could blow the trumpets by the Kotel. I meant that today there are those that say by the Kotel when we have a day of gathering they have solid silver trumpets and they do blow them because there's an understanding, you read the Rambam, it doesn't seem to be contingent on the temple. That's why I said it that way. We didn't have the location to do it.
Now, if you go on Rosh Chodesh,
I don't know about Rosh Chodesh. I never learned this inside. This is what I've heard. And I know that basically...
I think I've seen blowing trumpets
sure.
Before, but I don't know if...
When they have days of prayer,
yeah.
And they have special atzarot and taniyot at the Rabbanut Institutes, yeah. So based on Rav Shapiro's opinion, they do blow. So, when we blow the shofar, according to one understanding, it's the purest form of prayer. Notice, on Rosh Chodesh, God says, your memory will come up before me, when you blow shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, God says, it's a day of remembrance, it's also a day of blowing shofar. So you put two and two together, you understand, yes, the shofar brings our memory up before Hashem, so to speak. And how can we understand that? So the blowing of the shofar is referred to as a trua, right? Yom trua, a day of blowing. And the trua is translated as yabava. Yabava is also understood in Aramaic as a weeping. That's why Chazal questioned, how are we supposed to blow the shofar? How does a person weep? Three long blasts? Or maybe short blasts? Or both? So Chazal said, we'll do all three. We do three long blasts. We do all the short blasts. We do long blasts and the short blasts. We're not sure which one is the weeping that the Pasuk meant. So if we... So, what are we doing when we're blowing the shofar? If the shofar is representative of the weeping, what's the purest form of request? One could come before their parents and say 10 different lines, a whole speech, all of Shakespeare, and the parent is either moved or not. If a child walks in, doesn't say anything, just starts crying, very often they'll get more than half they said everything. That's what we're
depending
doing
on
with the
shofar.
Right, depending on the cry, you gotta mean it. So that's what we're doing with the shofar. The shofar is the cleanest form of request. We're just crying. Abba, we're crying. That's the shofar. According, that's another understanding. We don't know exactly. We know there's some secret in the shofar. So it's a day of Yom Zikaron. Our memory is brought up before Hashem. Hashem takes time to look at us, to look at us for good. Hashem is about to judge the world, and Hashem says, kids, you come in first. Before I get all riled up about what's been happening in this world all year, let me talk to you first. God says, when you judge a people, you're going to talk to their king, you're going to talk to the people, you talk to the king first. So Hashem brings in the Jewish people. Here the Gemara gives us this secret that part of our job in this world is like a king and its people. The king is responsible for its people. We don't just look at the world and say, oh, what the heck with the world economy? What difference does it make? We're okay here in Israel. No. A king cares about his people. Part of Rosh Hashanah, the whole world is going to be judged. So we're supposed to be a little bit interested in what's going on in the United States, and in Russia, and even in Africa, and even in Darfur, all over, where we... You shouldn't know. Or maybe you should know. We're melech v'tzibur. That's how the Gemara refers to us. Two understandings. Why do we enter judgment first? Either before God says, before I get all riled up about what's been happening, or melech v'tzibur. I speak to the king before I speak to the people. Either way, it is a day where we are brought up for benefit. And we have to remember, Rosh Hashanah is a day of awe. But the famous Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Hashem says, how I love these people. They know me. They're my boys. They don't come to me like the nations. When the nations have a day of judgment, they fast, they come in dark clothing, they mourn. When they come before me, they come in white. They prepare themselves, they come and rejoice, they have big meals with their families, they're confident, they know. You know, you have to come in for a tremendous court case. You don't know what's going to happen. You walk in and you see the judge is your best friend, he's your camp counselor. You guys are buddy-buddy. You know everything's going to be all right, right? As good as it can be. He's not going to twist the law for you, but he'll do the best he can for you. That's how we're supposed to enter Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, it's judgment. On the other hand, the judge is our father. Avinu Malkeinu. He's our king, but he's also our father. So he's going to do the letter of the law. But, you know, there are multiple ways of interpreting the letter of the law, and he's interested in our best interest. So Rosh Hashanah is a day that God gave us the ahava, with love, et yom ha-shabbat hazeh ve et yom ha-zikaron hazeh. This day where our memory comes up before Hashem, the ahava, something God gave us with love. Yom, and on this day, because it's Shabbos and we won't blow the shofar, so we don't call it yom teruah, but rather we call it yom zikron teruah, the ahava, which is the reference to Shabbos. Shabbos is the gift God gave us with love. If every holiday was given with love, so Shabbos was given even more with love. Shabbos is the gift. The other holidays are like every mitzvah, something good God gave us. Shabbos is called Matana Tova. You guys know the Gemara on Shabbos, right? Moshe was called by God. God said to Moshe, Moshe Matana Tova Yeshli Bebet Kinzai. I have a good gift in my treasure chest. V'Shabbat Shema, it's called Shabbos. Go tell the Jews about it, because when you're about to give someone a gift, so you're supposed to let them know. If it's charities, no one likes getting charity. But if you bump into your neighbor's son in the street and the kid's hungry and you give him lunch, so Chazal say you gave him a snack, his parents are going to be happy. Take some of the jam, take some of the cream cheese, whatever it is you fed him, smear it on his cheeks. So when he gets home, his mother will say, hey, where'd you get the cream cheese on your cheek from? He's going to say, oh, you know, I met our neighbor and I was hungry and he gave me lunch and he also gave me cream cheese. And then the neighbors will know that you like them and you help their kids out. So do something. They won't be embarrassed. It's not charity. You help the kid out. So Chazal say, you give them leave a sign that the parents will know. So to Hashem said, I'm giving my kids, I'm giving my boys a gift. I'm not only giving them Shabbos, I'm giving them a special gift with Shabbos. It's called the Neshama Yisera. An extra neshama, an extra capacity to rest and be holy. If anyone else would stop and just rest, then they'd say, I need a TV. What am I going to do in this time? I need a bar. let me get the guys, let me get the girls. You know, what are you going to do, Ikaya? What am I going to do all day Shabbos? Hashem said, no, you my boys, I'm going to give you a special gift, the Neshama Yisera. You're going to rest and be holy in that rest. Shabbos is different than if you just take vacation. You take vacation, you got to bring books, you don't know what you're going to do. Shabbos is different. Shabbos you learn, Shabbos you're with the family. Shabbos I'm giving you a gift, the Neshama Yisera. On Shabbos, when you rest, you can be holier than any other day of the week. The resting is a mitzvah. The physical is a mitzvah. You know, one of the Onik Shabbos, one of the things a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have is Onik Shabbos, is supposed to be with his wife Friday night, if they're pure, if they're permitted. That's Onik Shabbos. What's going on here? Every other day of the week, okay, he has a mitzvah, maybe, maybe yeah, maybe no. Shabbos, that's Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Part of owning Shabbos. You're supposed to have good food for Shabbos. You're supposed to also have a good time with the person's family on Shabbos. Why? That's the gift of Shabbos. The gift is that the physical and the spiritual do not contradict. You're on a higher level. You have a Neshama Yisera. And so when Shabbos leaves us, what am I going to do? Now the world looks different. Now when I eat a sandwich, when I eat a good steak, no, it's Gashmias. I'm eating the physical. It's not like Shabbos. When I eat chones on Shabbos, that's holy. It should be holy. I mean, a guy could be a glutton on Shabbos too. Shouldn't be a glutton. He has the capacity to take it and uplift it. So, Shabbos is a gift. And that's why when we speak about Shabbos on a day, Shabbos on Yom Tov, we always add the be'ahava, with love. From God, with love. Right? Isn't that, every holiday is a gift. Shabbos is special. Shabbos has a neshama yisera, be'ahava mikra kodesh, with love Hashem gave it to us as a day when we unite in holiness. Mikra could mean a calling, like we declare it a holy day with kiddush. Mikra could also mean a gathering, when we call everyone together in holiness. Zecha litziat mitzrayim, as we know, all the holidays attest back to the fact that we left Egypt. And that deserves a class on its own. How does Rosh Hashanah connect the Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Good question. We discussed it numerous times. For now, we'll have to continue. Elokeinu ve'elokei avotein. This is an important point. In Judaism, we always remember that it doesn't start with me. I'm a link in the chain. My responsibility is to be a powerful link in that chain. But I'm a link. And so when we begin our conversation with God in Shmona Esrei, we begin, blessed are you Hashem, our God. I'm a believer. I subscribe to this faith. And I know I'm not the, didn't start with me. You're the God of my forefathers, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. I might be big, but I remember where I come from. There were big people I come from. So here too, we're about to discuss the day. Elokeinu, we greet God, Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers. And what are we going to mention? You guys know Rav Soloveitchik by now. Let our memory come up before you. It's Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Hashanah. Yaaleh, v'yavo, v'yagia, v'yireh, v'yiretzeh, v'yishamah, v'yipakeh, v'yizacher, zichonenu, v'kzonenu, v'zichon avotenu. The following memories we want should come up before you. Come up and come forth and reach and be seen and be accepted. What? Yeah, we'll get to Yipaked. Yeratzeh, be accepted. Yishama, be heard. Yipaked, be remembered. Yizacher, Yipaked, like be counted. Yizacher, and be remembered. The following things. And here we see that there are steps, so to speak, in heaven. A person can throw up a prayer and it goes up, but it comes back down. It doesn't come before God. It could go up and come and not reach. It could reach and not be seen. It can be seen and not be wanted. It could be wanted but not be heard. It could be heard but not be noted. It could be noted but not be remembered. And so we say, God, we want this to go all the way up. And here we have an indication of the power of the shofar, going with Rav Soloveitchik's understanding. The shofar goes straight up. We know certain things go straight up. Chazal say, Sharei dima inan inalin. The tears, they go straight up. Sharei ona'a inan inalin. If someone is afflicted unfairly, straight up. Oh, it's a good question. That deserves its own class. Let's just say that the Talmud gives numerous stories And the Torah overtly promises, if someone's afflicted, God listens. You might not see it on the moment, but God listens. It's gone straight up. No need for Yale Yovo Yagea Yiro Yerotzi Shamay Paket Yizachar. No. Shoo. Straight up. Ager, a Yosom, the weak in society. God says, the Et Daka, I am with the weak. That's God's hallmark. God says, I'm with the ones on the bottom. I'm with them. So Hashem says, their prayer comes straight before me. Ooh, I'm sorry, we're out of time. I forgot. We'll have to pick up here, Bezachem, tomorrow night if you choose to.